Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Mildly attractive.
And welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 369. We're aging like fine wine, and I'm here, as always, with the feverish Fanero. Fanero, I think this is our sixth episode of the series of how these gentlemen feel about rookies.
Moving
tonight,
along nicely.
We have brought on Brandon Lejeune at Devi Deep Dive and Jason DiRienzo. I think I've nailed your name every time you've been on
every
a show with
time.
Me, but I feel like I just butchered the shit out of it.
You did good,
at
man.
All-purpose scout. These guys kill it doing their profiles, rookies. I mean, I'm curious to see how you feel about some of your past Devi guys, but you can find them both over at Devi to Dynasty. And honestly, I'm happy to call you friends of the show. Happy to have you here. What did I miss about them, Fanero? I feel like you should do the introductions.
you know, they're both on the Devi to Dynasty Football podcast, but you can't eliminate Brandon's Devi to Dynasty dashboard, the only dashboard out there. Yeah. And then, of course, Jason. I mean, you can't talk about Jason without talking about the OG he was of Devi Watch. He still writes for them. And
we are no longer, unfortunately.
He missed that.
You must have missed that. We are no longer, but I have had the great privilege of working with Brandon quite a bit now, and now I have more time to deliver these rookie profiles and get deeper into Devi and get into the mind of Brandon a little bit. So it's been a blast, and I am blessed.
Yeah, we've awesome. we have a good time. You're a fantastic podcast co-host,
buddy. I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you both for being here and just your knowledge and what we've learned from both of you over the years. But today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this, we want to hear about how you guys feel about rookies, some of the good and the bad and the ugly, the bliss and the devastation. Fanero's been killing this, but I have a question. And I don't know if you guys have listened to any of these profiles, but at any point, have you guys felt like, because we got away from this a little bit, Fanero, have you felt like there's just too much content? It's a little oversaturated. Like, we overdo it as a fantasy society.
Probably.
Not you guys.
Right. I think
in particular, but
yeah, I think there's a lot of people doing what we do, and there's a lot of information out there that people consume. So if you enjoy doing what you're doing, you just be part of that whole community. It's a great community of people.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I'll echo that. It is a great community of people, but I will say it has become oversaturated. And what's crazy to me is I watch, you know, all these different rookie profile videos that are coming out, and I read some of the columns. It's amazing to me how we all watch the same players and everybody's all over the place with their evaluations. And that is kind of what I love about it, because you get different opinions. And when I see someone say, well, I like this player, and I'm thinking, well, I didn't see that, it makes me go back and watch that player. And that's part of it I like, almost like the combine and pro days and the whole process is for these NFL teams. Us collaborating and having debates is part of the process for us. So even though it's overly saturated with the content, we got to kind of get creative and change it up. I do appreciate the different viewpoints, because it makes me evaluate my process a little bit and go a little bit more in depth of what am I doing that I feel good about, and what am I doing that I don't feel good about that this person saw that I didn't. So that part of it I absolutely love and appreciate.
I think that's a great point, and something that we've tried to emphasize a lot is to do your own work a little bit. Like, go, like, yeah, maybe everybody likes this guy, or this big person likes this guy, and now you're just like, oh, Brandon loves him, I love him. But to get away and go do your own work too, and see what you see, whether it's looking at the numbers, the film, I think that's uber important in all of this, to kind of form your own opinion after you listen to other people. Like
Brandon, that's what got you started, didn't it? Didn't you seeing everybody exactly else's? You're like, you know what? I'm going to do my own, man.
Yeah, exactly. Because I felt, you know, you when you start out and doing Dynasty, and what normal people do is they just go to their trusted sources. Maybe it's five or six websites, a podcast or two, and they don't watch film. They don't really look at stats or understand metrics all that much, but they go to lists and they draft their players. And doing that, I found that I was getting a lot of hits and I was getting a lot of misses, and said, well, you know what? I want to start like watching these players myself, because I thought the best job in the world would be to be a general manager of an NFL franchise, right, Mike? If we were, you know, Jeffrey Lurie for the Birds, right? And then we had to go in and evaluate the talent. We had to watch the film and make our own decisions, because in the end, when you're in your rookie draft, you can remember all those articles you read and you're looking at all the different lists, but when it comes down to it, you have to make the selection. So, you know, the fun thing about what Jason and I do being in the Debbie space, as you guys know, for your listeners out there, Debbie is something where we're watching and scouting these players for 2 to 3 years. We're watching them as freshmen. In fact, on my YouTube channel, I just put out 3 videos of like incoming freshmen playing college. So Jason and I have been watching these players for a whole long time. So, but that's fun. Mm-hmm. Go with your conviction. Make you know, you bring up a great point, Jason. It's in the end, you got to make your own choice.
Now, Brandon, you took me right to my first question, because you two being so knee deep in Devy with all the content that you put out, you're not putting out 2024 stuff. You're already looking at 2025. You know what I mean? Like, you guys, I wanted to ask, because we try to get this original angle from every guest that we bring on, right? Like, if we talk to a redrafter, they're going to answer this question differently. Rookie fatigue, okay? So we get it in the Dynasty community. I remember in 23, we got it really early because the 2023 class was so good back in 2021 that we were so tired. We actually went the other way with 2023. We said it sucks because we got rookie fatigue. So I wanted to ask two Debbie guys, where their clock is always further down than our clock in Dynasty, right? Like our clock, Swags and I are looking at 24. That's what we're looking at. We are not looking at 25. But right. You guys are looking at 25 and beyond. When do you, or do you ever even get, and I would love to get an answer from each of you, do you get rookie fatigue? And does it just happen earlier for you, or do you not get it at all?
It's really funny because we just recorded our podcast before jumping on here, and we kind of talked about that. Oh, I'm getting like some of my dashboard subscribers are reaching out saying, because we've been doing 3 rookie reports every week.
Right.
And this is why we play Devy, but we want to make sure we get our rookie drafts right. Right. So now we've got combine stuff and we're still watching the film and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like for Devy, I got another 3 or 4 weeks till the draft and I can focus on college. But right now, I think him and I, we're knee deep into the rookie. And there's probably a little bit of fatigue early, but it's going to be over before you know it. And we're going to be on to the next season. So I'm going to enjoy the last month until we get to the draft.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
I agree with Brandon, what he said. I will say, I think it's more of an itch to get back to the basic of Devy and get away from rookies. Like, it's more of an itch. Like, ooh, like, I'll get an itch to want to watch some Huddle High School film and see who's the next up-and-coming players, and I'll get that itch to want to do that. Or I'll get the itch to, you know, let me throw on some Clemson film and, you know, see what I'm missing here, and I'll do that. I don't know if it's fatigue. It's more so you just get, like, this burst of a thought that you want to evaluate a certain player or a certain team or something like that, and you just do it. So the rookies, I mean, I'm sure by the time the draft comes around, we're going to be ready to go to Devy, because I think we already are. But we also want to make sure that we get this process as right as absolutely possible, considering what we're seeing is going out to other people who are making decisions. So it's more of an itch than it is fatigue, if that makes any sense.
Let me see if I can sum that up with a metaphor. So, like, what if you new album comes out and you listen to that new album, that's all you listen to is that new album, and you just keep playing that new album over and over and over again, you still love it, but then it's time for something new. So like maybe you guys are looking at these things so long and listening to that same album and telling people about how great it is for so long, you get that itch to start the process over again and fall in love with
that's
a different album.
Not a bad way to put it. You know, I'll put it like this also, because we don't think about this, and I want you guys to really think about it. When the draft is over, we don't refer back to these guys really ever again. And it's funny because even podcasts that do like redraft of the 2021 class, like, I don't even care. I'm on to like the 2025, 2026 class. Like, I've done enough. I've heard enough. Like, if I will go back and see where I was wrong and like fix my process. But it's so funny. After the draft, those guys are like checked, boxed, and filed away, and I'm on to the next. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if you stay with that album analogy, it's kind of every now and then you'll go back to one of those albums and you're like, this is why it was awesome. And sometimes you'll be like, yeah, this it wasn't as good as I thought. Right.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, too.
What about Rookie Fever itself? Let's talk about Rookie Fever, not the podcast. The term Rookie Fever. Have you ever fallen for it? Have you ever evaluated talent and then Twitter and every other analyst out there sways you to fall for something that you didn't in your rankings or in your projections believe? Did you ever fall for Rookie Fever?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've fallen for fever for guys that maybe I fell in love with, like I've watched. I don't know if I because someone else says, "Oh, you have to draft this player," because they call me the Debbie Reaper on my dashboard subscription because I'm really hard on players, you know, more than thinking they're all going to hit. I think there's too much that positive, like every player's going to hit, every player's going to. I think Jason and I, we look it through a different lens and being like, okay, what traits are untranslatable that we're watching? I mean, we love to watch film. That's what we love to do, right? So I'm going to draft the guys that I kind of scout and do. And I might, you know, if I've got a decision to make between one or two players in a certain tier, I might like reach out to people that I trust if I'm like torn, but then it'll just come down the landing spot most likely. I think everyone in the world's gotten fooled by Rookie Fever. I mean, Sky Moore comes to example. Like Sky Moore was a guy that I never liked. I thought he had one inside move. And I said, I don't see this guy as like an elite route runner, but like the whole community liked him. But you know, then it's gone the other way.
It was a landing spot. Yep.
Yeah, well, he's not good enough because he hasn't played yet. I don't think he's really going to emerge. But on the flip side of that, then you got Jameson Williams, who was like my wide receiver one coming out in that class, who I loved and everybody loved. And I liked Waddle. I think he was in that same class or whatever, but loved him. It's a bust. So we're all going to have our hits and misses. And I was in love with his game and his film. So, yeah, I had fever. We all get caught up into it. But that's just the way it goes, man. It's played.
I got to be careful
of the game.
There's still hope.
I got to be careful how I frame my questions because I led you down a road that defined Rookie Fever as like Twitter speak and other analysts and stuff like that. But you basically said, well, no, I get Rookie Fever, but it's like my own. I get Rookie Fever because I get really excited about a prospect and I bump them up. Like that's what I do. Like I'm watching the film. So your Rookie Fever, if I had just simply left it at that, is a little different than some of our other guests in the past have talked about Rookie Fever, which is that more of that sting that you kind of like Clyde Edwards-Alaires, the Sky Moores, the stuff like that. Even the, we mentioned some quarterbacks in a certain class, like Darnold and all those guys.
I liked that answer though, because I think a lot of times, if you do spend any amount of time on social media, you see all the positive things and how this class is so amazing. It's going to be this, that, and the other. And you see it every year. And, then maybe after landing spots, who knows, we'll see how this year goes. Then they're like, trade all your picks, get to 2025 as fast as you can. And everybody wants out all of a sudden. You'll see, I saw somebody tweet out that we're going to have three wide receivers that are in the top 10 dynasty wide receivers after the NFL draft. And I think that is such a bold statement. I think
it's bullshit is what it is.
It's total bullshit. Thank you. It's not giving enough credit to what the NFL already has. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's crazy to – I mean, you're not even looking at any historical data on like how tough that is to actually do, even if you're Jamar Chase. I mean, honestly. And – I just think it's crazy to think that, I mean, some of them might get there eventually, but I don't know. I just think it's like misleading to the people that are following you, to be completely honest with you. I think we could do better.
No, I think we can do better too. You know, Mike, I'm thinking about your question with the Rookie Fever, and I think Jonathan Mingo might be a good example because a lot of people were hyping him up, and Brandon and I both just didn't see it with him. He gets the opportunity with the Carolina Panthers, who had nobody else, right? He gets the draft capital. He did, you know, well at the combine, had good speed for his size. And we still didn't bite on it because we just had conviction in our evaluation of him. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, I mean, year one, sure. I mean, he didn't produce the way that we thought he would with all that opportunity. And it was almost a relief to know that our process is on the right track. It's not 100%. It's not, you know, it's not flawless, but it's on the right track. And that was kind of nice to see, that not that Mingo didn't do well, but what we thought he was going to be at the next level and what everybody was saying he was going to be, we're in the correct direction of his trajectory, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, it does. And I know that my personal feelings on Mingo going into the draft were definitely shaped by you guys. Like, I know for a fact it was. Like, I stuck with what you guys felt. I saw with my own eyes, with what I saw was totally right. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be on that side of Mingo. Everyone else can go on the other side. And to be honest with you, he was like a 50-50 guy. I don't think he was like one of those bigger names that was like Quentin Johnston that everybody was all over.
He wasn't that big. No.
Yeah. But,
I'll just pipe in there for, that's a good example of, I mean, Quentin Johnston always had the hype, you know,
right.
from the mm-hmm. beginning.
Right.
This is a guy, he was, and we see players even in this class, you know, the ones that emerge late in the season, late bloom, you know, like Xavier Leggett would be a player, right?
Right.
Wicks, you know, is another one.
You know, who's coming up the ranks this year, and people are excited about him. You know, he's had 1 year production. He's had a tough life, and there's some circumstances as to why he didn't have early production. But, you know, he's a guy that's getting kind of bumped up in the draft now as like a late first rounder, maybe. And that's what happened with Mingo last time. And Jason and I would always say, just using this as an example of, you know, these late risers where the hype just gets, it snowballs into people just, you know, there's a lot of herd mentality out there. It's just the way mm-hmm. it is. You know what I mean? So yeah. Just got to kind of pick and choose who you think is going to work.
You guys mentioned, or Brandon, you mentioned Jameson Williams, somebody you were high on, mixed it in with a couple players you weren't so high on. But to both of you, Jason and Brandon, is there a point when, like, I'm going to use Jameson again as the example here because I know he's somebody you were really high on. Jason, I'm going to give you Elijah Moore. But just for some examples, is there a point when you're done and you give up? Because you called Jameson Williams a bust going into year three here. He hasn't even played – I don't even know if he's played a total of a season of games. I know it's probably close at this point. Is there a point when you know you're done and it's too late to get out, or do you just hold at that point? Like, what is your path once you're – because I know you play Dynasty Leagues as well, and even sure. though you're studying Devy all the time and you're moving forward on that, like, when are you done with these guys?
Well, I'm hoping that this year, for him specifically, he shows out. I mean, he got on the field a little concerning. I know he was coming off the ACL, so year one I'm going to write off as a, you know, he never got on the field. And so last year was really his rookie year. So I'm going to definitely stick with him for a couple more years. I mean, if I got a trade offer for someone like a buy low guy who was like really interested in him, I would consider it. I've seen him play on the field, and what I've seen, I just haven't been super impressed with, was his physicality and things on the field that I see, just, you know, because I love to watch film and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him this year, but I'll tell you right now, if this year he comes out with the opportunity on that team, because there really isn't another receiver, right, other than Laporta, then mm-hmm. you know, Amron, then I mean, what an opportunity on an indoor turf. And
I'm going to send you a trade, but I'm not going to send you a wide receiver because I want to see how your positions are doing. I'm going to give you Brian Robinson for your Jameson Williams.
Oh, I wouldn't even consider that. Not with who's, you know, with Eckler there now. I would. That's going to be a timeshare. I'm going to hold for the upside, man, for sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up Elijah Moore, and that's a good one. Elijah Moore, to me, has become a case study. The film was great. The analytics were off the chart. What happened? You know, he was even getting hyped during the offseason coming into his rookie season that nobody could stop him. He was separating himself, and then nothing, right? So I'm looking at it now. He's on the Browns. They just traded for Jerry Jeudy, who I think that's the time at which – like, Jerry Jeudy, to me, is the guy that you just kind of cut bait on. I just don't see it happening with him. I like Charles Tillman's upside more than I like Jerry Jeudy in that offense. So I think there's – with Elijah Moore, I think at this point now, if it was going to happen, it would have happened previously, and I just don't think with the target share, the Browns, and you know how many weapons they have, and they're still trying to figure out whether Deshaun Watson's a guy or not. It's just one of the situations I would probably want to be out on. But here's what I will say. I'm going to hold him because I'm not going to get anything for him right now. I'd rather wait to see.
I'm going to offer you Brian Robinson as well.
I'd probably take Brian Robinson just because I want a piece of the running back position that is really hard to come by right now. And Eckler's older and he can't stay healthy. So I kind of like Brian Robinson's ability to probably play at least 4 to 5 games as a starter next season.
And stick around for a while.
I don't mind that, man. Like, I've been thinking about sending some ease of buy offers out for Brian Robinson just to test the waters out a little bit. That's why I used him as an example.
I think I'm going to take Brian Robinson over both guys, to be honest.
I kind of agree with Brandon. That upside that Williams has, and we saw that upside starting to manifest at the end of last season, I'm not sure if I'd be willing to cut bait so soon.
One more year.
They could see what they have in him, and they're going to want to maximize that opportunity.
I'm going to throw it to Finero after this, but I want to say I hate it when I get offers for my Jameson Williams because he is one of my unhealthy relationships. Part of it probably started with Brandon and hanging around you. And then once he went to Detroit, I mean, he's probably like one of my highest rostered wide receivers. So it'd be smart to diversify. Some of the trades you see and you're like, I should probably accept this. But I'm like, no, no, no. Let's ride it out.
Yeah.
Brandon, you mentioned be wary of those late risers. I wanted to ask you a question that's actually a little bit more, I guess, foreshadowing. Do either of you guys feel like the Dynasty community has not caught up to a player or two that you guys like that maybe will get noticed after the draft takes place? But you two are kind of like, why is no one talking about this guy? I bet they're talking about him after he gets drafted. Is there any names that come to mind?
In this draft?
Yep. Mm-hmm. In this draft. Is there? Because we know the names that are getting talked about.
I love that. That's a great question. Who should our Debbie guys go after right now in those Debbie leagues before these guys get drafted?
I'll go with a guy that I like. Malachi Corley is a player that I like who is going to be most likely a late day two, early day three guy. I think he brings a different skill set to the table. Then he's a very unique wide receiver in this class. And I think if an NFL team falls in love with what he brings to the table, a lot of comps are like a Deebo Samuel, but Deebo Samuel is a little bigger, but this guy's a little smaller, but built very solidly. You know, he's not going to be the great route runner and stuff. I think he's got enough create space and he's a very physical guy with the ball in his hands and could be utilized as an offensive weapon, you know, out of the backfield and stuff like that. So that's a player that I'm going to be targeting, a guy that I just love his physicality. And it's something I value highly. And I'm just going to have a lot of shares of him. And he's, like I said, he's going to be probably outside everyone's top 8 or 9. But I could see him surprisingly getting some good draft capital. He's just a player that I really like to watch.
I think Corley is actually a good call. I've been very critical of just what he's going to be at the next level. But I was telling Brandon last night, like I went through and I changed my whole evaluation process based on what the NFL is starting to look for and running in receivers. And he graded as a top 6 receiver. That's his grade. That's a number grade. So when I go to actually rank these players, I get to put in my analysis of what I think the projection might look like. He's just hard because he's not your prototypical type of receiver. As a matter of fact, he graded out a little bit higher as a running back than a receiver. So that versatility a team is going to love, but it's because of that versatility. It's just hard to pinpoint that he's going to be successful in any scheme. That's not the case. A coach has got to draft him to know how to use him. But if they know how to use him, I mean, he's easily going to be one of the top receivers. So I think that's a great call on Brandon's part. I would say Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State, the running back, is a guy that I started watching a little bit more of, and I'm coming away pretty impressed with what he can bring. He's not the highest athletic guy, but if you like Damian Pierce, you're going to love a guy like Isaiah Davis. Just very physical. I like that he has good vision. He understands exactly where to go. He's got the burst, but that long speed and that initial second level gear change is not there. But he is very much a physical, dynamic running back that I think a team is going to fall in love with based on what he can do after the contact as well. So Isaiah Davis is a guy I think that might be a sleeper.
Nice. I always like to pick your guys' brain for this kind of thing because I know you guys do it too. You do some mock drafting out there, and you see where these names, if these names are even hitting like four rounds. And right around now, I think it's names like them that actually don't even make mocks. So I think it's interesting, like for people who have a draft like immediately after the NFL draft, it's if you do, I think there's a different kind of strategy that you go into with that draft because it's less based on the community's feel and more on projections. And I wanted to ask you about that. Do you have any rookie drafting strategy that you would like to share? That, you know, something that you implement in your rookie drafts, whether you wait on the tight end or, what everybody says value, that's all I care about is that, you know, you could use a different league setup for your strategy, whether it's Superflex or, but is there anything that comes to mind that you'd want to lend your hand to the people?
Yeah, I think the first two rounds are probably pretty chalky, you know, as far as the which players are going to be there. So I think my strategy and recommendation to anybody would be to spend more time, you know, on the your third, fourth, and fifth round rookies and try and dig a little deeper than just reading off lists or getting, you know, because I really feel the rookie draft, that's really where it's won and lost. I mean, most people are going to get a solid player in the first round, regardless of position, that's going to help your dynasty roster. Round two, it's probably 50-50, you know. So I always take best available player, you know, and I'm always probably going to lean onto the wide receivers because all the teams that I have better teams on, I've got an army of solid wide receivers. So I'm always going to lean wide receivers. But do your research on those third, fourth, and fifth rounders. And that's what Jason and I do. You know, we're doing profiles on those kind of, because there's not a lot of information and detail on those kind of players. But because I think that's where the game can be won and lost. So that would be my strategy recommendation.
Jason, before you go, I have a fishing analogy, and I could not bring up a fishing analogy with Brandon on. If you guys don't know, Brandon is an avid fisherman. So here's my analogy to what Brandon.
Yes.
This is my analogy to what Brandon just said. The first round and a half, so up to 2.5, is a fully stocked lake to your left. It's just stocked. You're going to throw you could throw a hook in and probably catch a fish. But the third and fourth round, and even the second half of the second in most drafts, maybe not this one, is just you're going to have to get the right bait. You're going to have patience. You're going to have to. That's the one where your skills are going to catch a fish. Come on. How's that analogy? How's that analogy, Brandon?
It's
give it to me.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Love it.
Good job, Mike.
Just dropping the mic.
Oh, I think they're nice.
He's out of here. He dropped the mic. He's walking off.
That is great.
Jason, that's, do you have a strategy for us? I bought you a little time.
No, it's okay. And I do appreciate the additional time. I would say that I always like to go after best player available in the first round. A guy I have conviction on the grade, and I don't care about ADP ever. I absolutely do not. The only time I'll care about ADP is I'm not going to draft a guy that I feel like I could get a little bit later at like 106 if I think I can get him at 203. Like, I'll make a trade and trade back so I can get additional picks. But if I like Marvin Mims, I was targeting late in the first round everywhere last year because I didn't think he was going to do anything in year one, but I love the upside and my evaluation, the analytics, everything tells me that he's going to be good. So he was my target in later rounds, regardless that I saw him going in like the mid second or so. I was like, screw it. Like, I want my guy, the guy that I feel good about. And so that's what I'll do. I also make a list of guys that I call waiver wire additions, where I don't need to draft them now because I know that they probably won't perform in the first year and somebody will get impatient and just drop them. So I don't draft those guys. I only draft the guys that I feel really good about, have conviction over, and possibly could have starter potential in year one. And those guys that I feel like need like a year or two to sit, learn, you know, Xavier Leggett could be one of those guys. Like, that the guys that have upside but need to sit and probably won't produce, and those owners will get frustrated and drop them. I have a whole list of guys, so I don't draft those guys. I just wait for the impatience to kick in.
I love that last one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh. What about the biggest mistake people make this time of year? Because there's definitely mistakes being made out there. What kind of mistakes are you seeing this time of year in particular, right? So we don't even have landing spots.
This time of year?
Yeah, this time of year specifically.
I would say getting bored and making trades to make trades.
That's how I live. That's how, like, I build
right
teams.
Right now, this time of year, that's what I would say is probably the worst thing you could do. Unless it's strategic. But there's no strategy because we don't know too much unless you're going after one of these top-tier running back or receivers or a guy that you know, is worth whatever compensation you're pinning up because he's going to help you win next year. Other than that,
that's a tough one. I mean, Jason,
we have all summer, you know what I mean, to make these trades up. We have more information for right now.
Look at free agency. Look at free agency. Look at this one day of free agency.
That's a tough one for me, though. Changed everything already, right? So what if you were already making trades and, you know, what if you just went and traded for Brian Thomas and now Austin Eckler's there and it's all like, just be patient. I mean, the summertime is really when it gets boring. We got nothing going on.
Well,
that's when.
But what if you, didn't trade for Gardner Minshew and now you want to try to still get him for what he was worth 2 weeks ago?
I think he's probably still the same value.
Somebody offered me a 310 for Gardner Minshew, and it was easy for me to reject. I mean, I have a lot of Gardner Minshew. I'm in a few leagues. And the other offer I got for Gardner Minshew was they wanted my Malik Willis, Gardner Minshew, and they were going to give me Sam Howell. And I was like, no, I'm going to keep Gardner still.
Yeah, but you know he's at least starting.
Yeah, so but right. A couple weeks ago, so if they would have done that. How long does Sam Howell start for? How long does that 310 start for?
They're all fill-ins.
Yeah, they're all fill-ins. I mean, if you need a fill-in, 310's not that bad. Like, that's doable if you need a pinch starting quarterback and you're going to throw away that 310. Like, that's absolutely fine. You could do worse.
What am I going to do with that 310? Who are you hoping falls to you in the third round? Because we already mentioned that we kind of sometimes get a little overly excited about some of these rookies and they're not all going to hit. But now that 310 is going to help me more than Gardner Minshew for a year or two?
I think you keep
Gardner
Minshew.
Depends on the running backs. Running backs are very, very difficult to nail down. That's the range I start collecting some running backs with some upside. Like a Bucky Irving's probably going to fall that far based on his combine. But I think if he lands on the Chiefs, you know, I like his pass catching ability. I like the film. I think he's got good mechanics. Like, I might be looking at a guy like Bucky Irving or someone like that, where the running back position is now a role position. So I need to collect some of these guys on the back end of my drafts.
So this is the first series or show that we've done since free agency started.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, do you feel like some of these running backs finally got contracts? Running backs we thought would get some kind of contracts last year, the guys that were tagged, and now they're getting contracts. Do you feel like the NFL is telling us how they feel about this running back class? A little, the landscape has changed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they may have gotten paid a little bit more, but I mean, I don't think it's really changed. I think they're hanging on to the old guys because, they probably think this incoming class, there's no Bijan Robinson. There's no explosive players like Gibbs. So, you know, for, I guess, the only, like, a team like the Dallas Cowboys who didn't do anything, I guess they're going to be looking in the draft to get a, you know, Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks type runner early in round, you know, in late round two, you know, round three, something like that. But, I think all these running backs, for the majority, unless you're the Bijan type or Gibbs, they're all wild cards. There's no sure thing. So if I'm an NFL franchise, so I'm going to lean on. I think it's great that these running backs are getting a little cash. You know, they get the shit kicked out of them. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's nice that they're getting money finally. I think it's great.
So for me, and maybe you guys think I'm crazy, but I would have scoffed at that 310 a couple few weeks ago. And I know Finero probably believes me because he hangs out with me a lot. But I would have scoffed at that 310 a few weeks ago and been like, no, I think at some point in Gardner's career, which is happening now, he's at least a placeholder. And that's all I need in Superflex sometimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think over 60 quarterbacks played and started NFL games last year with all these injuries.
Yeah.
So it's you know, having a depth piece like that is a, you never know, he could, you know, win you 4 weeks in a row to keep you in playoff contention and have some
solid
weeks.
my point in all this is, I think in Dynasty there's always going to be a lot of risk, and I want to see people take that risk before they know what's going on. Like, wear it on your sleeves. Like, show me your feelings, who you believe in. Don't wait and be like, I was right. They signed. Now I'm going to go make an offer. Because now I don't want to move them because I want them a little bit more now, too. Like, they've already been on my team all this time. I haven't dropped them. I haven't traded to you cheap yet. Now that they signed, do you think I'm going to give you Gardner?
Yeah, this is a terrible time to trade in general, like Jason said. I mean, there's especially at the start of free
agency. I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, anyone putting out trades a day or two before free agency that's risky business.
I love
that's
it.
That's really rolling the dice. Yeah, I was going to say Swags likes it. Swags.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
You can never have enough quarterbacks, especially when Brandon brought up like how many played last year. The year before, it wasn't many less. It was like two or three less quarterbacks. The last 2 years have just been astronomical. I remember in rookie Lucian's Swags, I brought that up in particular, that I wanted to try to accumulate Gardner Minshew types to have that kind of depth in a super flex. Because if you go through 60 freaking quarterbacks, you're telling me that your roster doesn't have a problem at that position? Like, of course it does. I think that was worth bringing up, Swags, for sure. I know that's not going to surprise any of our listeners, but I wanted to put a flag in this episode just because it was after the combine. I know that we're going to be doing this well into the drafting season. We're going to do this up to the draft, and these answers are going to sound so different as we approach the draft, right? So now that we have the combine and we have Debbie people on, right, Debbie experts on, I want to ask you two the same question that kind of gets asked all the time. Does the combine do anything for your analysis? Like, how much does it sway your film?
I don't think it does. I use it to verify the athleticism that we see on the field. If somebody runs a little faster, I mean, to me, I don't think the difference between a 4.3 and a 4.4. I mean, really, it's all about play speed for me on the field versus when you got pads on and, you know, versus running in shorts. And the agility drills are nice to see, you know, what kind of explosion the player has. But I personally don't move a player up and down based on the combine much. If a player is fast, unless a player comes in like really slow, like, it was that running back, Jason, you know, Audric Estime, you know, from Notre Dame, ran 4.71. So something like that. Oh, that's a little alarming. He didn't look that slow on the field. He looked pretty explosive playing. But so it might, maybe it's a little piece of the puzzle, but I don't make any drastic changes. However, I feel the internet does, as far as like, I think a lot of people, it's like, if you're fast, you're automatically bumped up in the rankings. But man, there's a lot more to play the wide receiver position than running fast.
Well, let's go there then, because I can ask the same question a slightly different way. Did Xavier Worthy move up or down your list in any way, considering the press he got and being a Debbie darling just 2 years ago? I know last year was a down year for him.
Not really. I mean, you saw the speed on the field. So I think that was one of his scouting reports that he was fast. So again, if he ran a 4.2 versus a 4.35, it really doesn't matter. It's just really how you create space on the field. And, you know, that can be a lot of other ways. But I really feel like the combine for a lot of people, especially the speed and the 40 times, it puts these players higher and higher.
I was going to say, do you think it changes his NFL draft stock, though?
Yeah, probably. The NFL loves speed. So that's what they think, you know, is going to happen. But he brings a lot of, he's a great receiver. He's a good receiver, but he brings the other skills to the table. I mean, so he's worthy of the pick anyway, in my mind. I like Xavier Worthy. I think he's a space creator who is, you know, if he can improve his hands consistency, but he's physical and for his size, and I think he can create space. I think he's one of the best receivers in the draft, no doubt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's funny. So the examples that I could bring out are Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Xavier Legette. Like, those are guys that lost and extremely won in the combine based on their athletic scores. I mean, Xavier Legette, I mean, he was in college for 5 years. This is the first year he kind of came on. And I love some of the background that we're starting to get and getting some additional context as to why that might have happened. But at the same time, the combine, him running, I think it was in the 4.3s at his size at 220 some odd pounds, like that's a big deal. A.D. Mitchell, the 4.35, that's boosting him up, even though he had 1 year, 800 yards at Texas last year. Other than that, didn't do anything, even showcasing that he could be a primary wide receiver one for an NFL team. And now he's being viewed that way. Brian Thomas Jr., you go look up at the statistics, and I talked about this with Brandon. He's the exact same player athletically skill set, everything is DJ Chark. So I'm not going to look at him as a guy that could develop any higher than what DJ Chark is going to be, because I just haven't seen a path like that. Terrace Marshall would be the same thing. And then Keon Coleman running in the 4.6s, I actually saw better speed than 4.6 on the field. I think he's got better play speed in his actual film than he did at the combine. So it's almost reversed in that sense. So the combine doesn't really move the needle that much. It's just really more of a checkbox confirm type thing. The only one that might have moved for me is Audric Estime. I had him at RB2. I have him at RB4 now. And that's just because obviously the draft capital is going to change when you run a 4.7. So that's the only thing that came into play, is he's probably not going to get the draft capital. I thought he possibly could, but man, the film was just too good, because you can implant him as a day one starter and he will produce behind a good offensive line.
I've got a question. This is kind of switching gears a little bit, but who, I don't know if Panero's going to like this. It might not even fit the show that well. Who has a better chance of starting for Jim Harbaugh this year? Isaiah Spiller or Blake Corum?
I'm going to say Corum, hands down.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Definitely.
Well, he has one of them. He already has one of them. If he
was going to see the field, he would have seen the field already. I mean, we saw him in a minor role, but not enough. Something with those Texas A&M running backs, man. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
So the Chargers probably drafting a running back?
You know what?
It appears so.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, they just signed, what, Gus Edwards?
Oh, that's right.
Right?
But forgot about that guy.
Primary running back. Mm-hmm. They probably will draft one, but I don't know. If it's going to be like, I think everybody just expects it to be Corum. I'm not sure if that's the case. I mean, you got to take, Corum is going to be one of the top running backs to come off the board. Personally, I think that he's my RB1. He has the best skill set of anybody in this draft as a pure runner with good instincts. I mean, that's what I see from him. But he's also on the older side, has some injury issues. I don't know. So a lot of times Harbaugh likes his guys until he actually has to draft them. So we'll see if he can put, you know, everything he's saying about J.J. McCarthy and all these guys. We'll see if any of that comes to fruition. I mean, I love Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson actually graded out as my wide receiver 5 when I put him through my grading process. So I'd be surprised if Roman Wilson doesn't replace Keenan Allen possibly in the draft for the Chargers. That would be interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. You see a lot of talk about all of the U of M players somehow landing with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It makes sense, though. He's coming in. He's got to be familiar.
Definitely.
To get himself off on the right foot. So I get it.
And he's been in the NFL, so he knows what he wants to see out of NFL players. He's mentioned all of his players are a little bit ahead of the curve just because they've been in his system. It makes sense. Some of them will probably go there.
Well, since we're on the subject of landing spots, are you guys ready to do a landing spot rookie draft? So what we've done, I know Jason's like, what the hell is that? So it's very easy. We've done, there's been 5 picks so far. And they are, all of our guests have 1 pick of position and landing spot that they think is just gold in this year's draft. So we went over just now, we were talking about running back with the Chargers, like maybe that's one, but you can't pick that one and you can't pick these because these were all picked already. John Hogue went Arizona wide receiver, so that is off the board. Michael Sipes went Miami tight end. Some of these don't age well, off the board. Jeremy, the madman, went Cleveland running back. Heath Cummings went running back Chargers. John Lobb went Buffalo wide receiver. All of those landing spots are off the board. And for some reason, Brandon threw the first pick. So Brandon, you're up, giving Jason just a little bit more time to strategize, think of a better landing spot than you.
What time I get?
Because you, right. You get some more time, but you get the better pick, right? So it's kind of like a, you know, it's pick your poison here. But Brandon looks ready.
I'm sensing a pattern, Jason.
He's way up in his chair, man. I can tell. That's why I went there, man. I think Brandon wants to answer this question so Brandon's freaking so excited. He's like, oh, my God, I get my number. I get my 101. All right, Brandon, what is it?
I was going to say the Cowboys running back position.
Yeah.
Now I got to think longer.
I ran to the podium, Mr. Goodell.
just straight up there. Yeah, see, this is the unique part of this too, is like this draft's going to be going on for like 16 weeks. So
how much money will AJ Dillon have to have when he signs for the Cowboys to make you change your mind?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I'm all in.
No money?
No, Dillon wouldn't move the needle for me.
Dillon isn't going to move the needle for me. Oh, no. I mean, he might be a fill-in for a year, but not.
He's dead.
I don't
think he's dead to you?
Yeah, I just... Okay.
That sucks.
Instincts, vision.
That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. My night's a little ruined now, but that's whatever. I knew you're just telling me something I already knew, but but coming from you now it hits a little harder.
It's rumored he will sign with them.
Oh yeah,
that's why I said that.
Yeah, he's a goal line back that isn't a goal line back. All right, Jason, you've delayed it long enough, man. I know. I see the fingers chattering. There's like a team and a position. What's the first thing that's coming to your mind right now? What was that first thing that came to your mind? I know you've been juggling between two or three, but what was that first one that came to your mind? What was it?
It was totally the running back for the Cowboys. I'm going to go. God, it actually sucks considering the situation. There's so much opportunity. I'm going to go running back for the Vikings. They've always produced a running back that was viable in fantasy. There's nobody back there. I'm just concerned about the quarterback. That part is making this a little bit dicey. But, I mean, the opportunity is... Oh, no. They just signed. Who they just signed?
Aaron Jones, I think.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, I'm gonna speak on Jason's behalf. I have his answer, and he doesn't even know it.
See, this is why I love you, Brandon. Go for it.
I got to hear this.
Here it is.
Chicago Bears wide receiver position.
Oh.
You're right. You're going to get Caleb Williams. You got DJ Moore. Yeah, Kmet. But now they just signed some other tight end, didn't they?
You know what? With Shane Waldron there, too, I wouldn't like that if it wasn't for Shane Waldron, because I really think it's going to be a tight end, wide receiver, snap count, snap share, that sort of thing. Almost like the Chiefs. I could absolutely see that being the plan. But Shane Waldron being there with what he did with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I do like that. Give me the wide receiver too for the Bears. That's a good one.
Put a rookie there. Get me excited. Put a rookie there.
Like anybody I want?
It's your team, yeah. Realistically. Realistically. They could pick what? Top 10 wide receiver. They could do that, right?
I don't think they're going.
Okay, so don't
top 10.
So don't do that.
I really don't.
Don't do that. Round two.
What I would love. I would love for them to sign Mike Williams. Put him on the other side of DJ Moore and slot in Roman Wilson. I love Roman Wilson's game. Him or Ladd McConkey out of the slot, I think, would just eat in Shane Waldron's offense. Dang. I'm all about that. Caleb Williams threw a lot in the middle of the field, especially to Taj Washington. That center part of the field, exploiting zone and stuff, that's going to be a big part of it. That's where Roman Wilson or Ladd McConkey could just eat up. And so maybe one of those two I feel great about.
This is fun.
I'm going to do the perimeter.
This is fun. I'm going to do that with Brandon. Then Brandon, same question going up to you. Cowboys running back.
Brandon.
What rookie do you want to see land there?
I'd have my choice between two. I think it'd be.
Go ahead.
I think Blake Corum would be a great fit. They always have the big hogs up there. But Jonathan Brooks, I can see them legitimately.
Oh, that's a good one.
Drafting him because the surgeon apparently for Dallas did his knee surgery.
Okay. All right. A little familiarity with the knee. All right.
A little familiarity with the knee.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do this from now on, by the way, guys. Like, I'm going to ask people to put a rook in there. I like
those,
that.
Those are the little things. Like, I don't think I would have learned that.
Right.
The Dallas doc. I had no idea that until Brandon just brought it up. But those are the little things that sometimes end up having some meaning in the end.
Brandon does deep dive.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. He does.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You can find him at Debbie Deep Dive.
Debbie Deep Dive, do you guys have anything else you want to push or plug or talk about before we get you out of here?
I think my only thing to talk about the rookie drafts coming up is to take your guy, you know, to take the people that you want. And that's what I've learned. Win or fail.
Yep.
At least you can always say that if I make the bad picks and my ship goes down, at least I can't blame anybody but myself. And that it feels so good on the other side when you do get the players that you want and they do work out. So you're going to hear a lot of noise. And in the end, you have to pick your own players when you're on the clock at your computer at your house. And, you know, all that analysis goes out the window. You just take the guy that you believe in the most.
Yeah, I agree. Even the misses, I know they're not as fun, but I think the misses are a little bit more fun if you're not blaming somebody else for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know good that point. It's you, your mistake.
Yeah. Love that.
I would just say, first off, I appreciate you guys having us on. This has been an absolute blast. Every single time we're on with you, you know, it's a great discussion, and it's good to kind of just, you know, talk some football and love you guys. I would say that the number one thing that I want to make sure that we do is adapt to the changing of the NFL. Don't get so stubborn and stuck in your own process when, you know, these running backs that are sub 200 are now having opportunity, you know, and watch what the NFL is actually looking for in those sub 200 running backs. The tight ends, I think it's time for us to not neglect them anymore. Like, they actually have a role in today's NFL. And look at the type of profile that is getting drafted higher and the type of tight ends that they're looking for. You know, just make sure that you're not just being stubborn to the process of what you've stuck to for the long period of time. The NFL changes every single year, and you have to change with it, or you will be picking the wrong players. So just make sure that you are adapting.
I like that. I feel like you're speaking to me, though, because I'm like that big body wide receiver guy. I like my running backs a certain size. You can have a
pipe, but don't just shove the other guys off the cliff. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have my type.
Unless it's Bryce Young. Then
it's another. Yeah, there you go. It's another one of my rookie illusions, Jason, is double counting a bad trait. Like, I do that a lot. I do that a lot. And size is something I think we do in this industry a ton. Like, well, they're just too small to be a wide receiver. They're just too small to be a running back. They are too small to be a quarterback. Like, that is double and triple and quadruple counted, mm-hmm. I think, in this process sometimes. And it counts. Yes, it's part of it. Absolutely. And in some positions, it means more than others. But I think it's just, it can be created as a blanket kind of, at least subconsciously, a blanket thought about it, even if it doesn't make it truly into your rankings, it's there. You're thinking it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I gotta be honest. I'll miss the days when the smaller running backs I didn't have to worry about.
Yeah, right.
Now you gotta evaluate everybody, even the small receivers. You gotta evaluate all of them, and now we have to evaluate tight ends. It's like, man, I liked it when I could just shove a certain, you know, body type or whatever
it is on the side
and not have to worry about them.
Even DJ Dallas got a contract in free agency.
I saw that.
So anything could happen.
Seems like a family contract.
Anything can happen. DJ Dallas gets signed. Anything's possible.
That might have been one of my favorite closes to this series in an episode for sure. Those pieces of advice towards the end there were gold. Brandon, Jason, thank you so much. Is there anything that you want to plug, anything you want to tell our listeners about? Because there's a heap load you guys are doing.
We do a great podcast each week called Debbie to Dynasty Football. We're focused on rookies now, but if you want to get an early look for your listeners to the 2025 rookie class next year and get an early look, that's kind of what we'll end up talking about shortly after the draft. And I got a YouTube channel out there, Debbie to Dynasty Football, got cut-ups of, you know, rookies and profiles for all sorts of players. So always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah, same. Thanks, you both.
Love you guys back.
We appreciate you guys. I will say this too. I'm going to be updating my rankings and doing some different things with those. Talk to Brandon, and I think we agreed that I'll be having my Debbie rankings on his dashboard in the near future too. So I'll be doing a lot with Brandon's rankings and the profiles and all that stuff. So Brandon, I'll tell you what, Brandon,
that's a nice way to get it in, because if he didn't like that idea, now he almost has to do it.
Now he has to, right? It's cemented, it's sealed. But guys, when it comes to the videos, like, Brandon is doing these cut ups. He's doing, you know, a lot of the detail in these. I literally just have to make sure I'm prepped. I jump on. Brandon does all that stuff. So there's a lot behind the scenes he does. So I just want to make sure that we give him the recognition he deserves, because it's a lot of work. I can only imagine.
I appreciate it. I have fun. It's a fun hobby for me.
And he releases this stuff fast. I remember right after the combine, he did running back risers and fallers, and I watched it right away. You know, so it's timely stuff. It's an easy watch. None of it's like incredibly long. He gets right to the point. They're both together. You guys are amazing. I'm so glad that you guys have settled into the seats that you're in. I never knew how permanent would they would be. They seem to get a little more solidified every single day, and I love it. I think the two of you make a great team. I think the podcast is fantastic, and the video stuff that you're putting out, Brandon, is definitely top notch.
Top tier. And that's no bullshit. Like, I know that Finero is being honest, and I'm going to be honest when I say this next thing. And I can't say this without, I mean, I have to say no disrespect to the other guys, but they're going to take this that way. But after I started watching Brandon's stuff, it almost, you'll go to watch somebody else's stuff and there's just something a little bit more vanilla about it. Like the way Brandon does his film work, it's top tier. It's the only place you need to be.
Agreed.
Thank you. Jason is at All Purpose Scott on X Twitter. Brandon is at Devi Deep Dive. Follow them both. We were talking before the show that I think there's a way you can pin it so like you'll get a notification whenever they tweet something out, but it's always good content and they stay away from the bullshit and just want to help you build your dynasty teams, your Devi teams a little bit better. I am at Swagzilla0G. He is at Artberg TV. This is at Rookie Fever. We are out. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scout and has never done this to before and run? I told you anyone size must be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever, now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever, no cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever, thank God for the fever, thank God for the fever, what a lovely way you burn, now you got the fever, 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 now you got